Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1. It's always a blessing when we have the opportunity to be in church. And I trust that you've sensed the presence of the Lord already in this place. We have His Word before us, and we're just wanting to receive what God has for us through the preaching and the teaching at this time. And so if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. We'll be reading Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 26, and we're going to read down to verse 47. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month of the month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutations of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in church. And Lord, we thank you for this passage of scripture that you have preserved for us and that we've just read and are looking forward to receiving from this the message that you have for us today. And so I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. Use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 47, the Bible says, and Mary says, My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Amen. I'd like to preach a message to you this morning that I think would be a help to us, and that is faith to believe who Jesus is will bring joy. Faith to believe who Jesus is will bring joy. God has made it possible for any true believer to experience joy at any time. If we have faith to acknowledge Him no matter what's taken place, if we have faith just to spend some time thinking about who Jesus truly is and what He's done for us, it will bring joy to your spirit. The Bible gives us the example of Mary here. And Mary was a godly, chaste young woman who was getting ready for her marriage to Joseph. That's no doubt what she had been focused on for some time. If you can think back to when you were preparing for your wedding, or possibly even preparing for your wedding even as we preach this morning, you can think that that's what's on your mind, nothing else. You're just thinking about everything that has to do with the ceremonies and all the things and what it's going to be like to be united in holy matrimony and live together for the rest of your life. And we find that there is no indication there was nothing different with Mary. She was getting ready for this marriage to Joseph. And then something happens. She's by herself with her thoughts, and the angel Gabriel comes to her. The Bible says, "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And no doubt in that introduction of Gabriel, first of all, being able to see an angel and to hear and to realize this angel is speaking to me. And then to hear the angel tell her that she was blessed among women. This would have been somewhat startling. I mean, put yourself there. This is an actual event that took place. Think about if this would happen right before you were getting married and all's on your mind was getting married to your husband, and an angel appears to you and tells you that you're blessed among all women. The Bible says, and she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation. Her mind was running wild and she's trying to figure out what is going on. And why would he say that I would be blessed among all other women? The angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And then he tells her, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now that's not what she had been planning on. She was thinking about, no doubt, having the sons of Joseph. And the angel tells her that she's going to conceive without ever knowing man. And this conception would be of God. And she's already instructed to call him Jesus. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I don't know if she's now trying to relate it to the prophecies of the Old Testament, her mind, as it would be with any of us. Her mind was kind of running wild, and she's trying to understand this angel speaking to me, and she would have known the Old Testament. She was a very virtuous woman, and she would have known the Old Testament. Is she putting this together as far as the Messiah has been the Christ child, and God is going to use me to give birth to this Christ child? And then the angel leaves, and Mary is possibly thinking, did that really just happen? I mean, if this happened to you and all this was taking place and now the angel's gone and you're left there alone with your thoughts, you're thinking, wow, could that have happened? No doubt feeling troubled, a little scared, wondering just what was going to take place from that moment on. We find that after that, immediately, we find that the Bible says, And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, the reason that she would immediately go to speak to Elizabeth is because the angel revealed to her that Elizabeth, her cousin, was somewhat in the same type of situation, although Elizabeth was not a virgin, and Elizabeth was not going to give birth to the Son of God, but Elizabeth would be given birth when she had been barren and was told that she couldn't have children. But her and her husband would conceive, and the angel told her that she would be 6 months along with her pregnancy. And so in Elizabeth's mind, as soon as the angel left and she's trying to figure out the only person that she could go talk to that would understand what she's going through and possibly even help her to understand what is happening to her would be Elizabeth. And so immediately we find that she leaves and she goes to find Elizabeth. And I believe that it was exactly what was intended by God for the angel intentionally told her about Elizabeth's conception, knowing that that's where she would turn, that's where she would go. So you're following the story with me, and it's reality. This took place about 2,000 years ago. And she goes, and Elizabeth, as soon as Elizabeth sees her, Elizabeth tells her that she is blessed among women. Repeating now, from her cousin, repeating the very same words that she had just previously heard an angel, the angel Gabriel, tell her. In her mind, can I tell you, there's confirmation. And she says, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord? Now, Elizabeth here has been inspired by God to be able to present to her the very same message that you just heard from the angel, but it's not coming from an angelic being now. It's coming from her own cousin, which is helping her to understand what has taken place is real. I didn't just have a dream. This was not something that I made up in my imagination. It was not something that just happened that I couldn't figure out, didn't know for sure. But now Elizabeth is telling her the very same thing. And she says, the mother of my Lord, meaning that Mary was carrying her Lord. It would be her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. In verse 43, the Bible says, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe, her baby, Elizabeth's baby, which would be John the Baptist, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now that Mary's faith was where it needed to be concerning Jesus Christ, her joy overcame her fears and rose above all her circumstances of life. Because she says, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. She realized she was carrying the very Savior of the world. And once she understood that, her joy overcame her fears. Her joy now overcame her thoughts about what her family's going to think. Naturally, you would go to that place and say, I've not known a man. I've been chaste. I've been a virgin. And I'm going to have this pregnancy without ever knowing a man. What is mom and dad? What are the family members going to say? And that would have been a fear until she realized This is Christ in me. And just having the faith to know this was of God overcame her fears, and now this joy, and this joy overcame her concerns about her own family. Her joy would have overcome her concerns about even what her future husband, Joseph, was thinking. No doubt she would have been fearful and troubled and thinking, how is this going to be explained to Joseph? How can I ever convince him that I have not known another man? And now she has faith to believe in Christ, and she says, he's going to take care of that. And he does. Because the same angel would go to Joseph and tell him. Mary would not have known that at that time, but now that she has faith to know and believe in Jesus Christ and know that he is Lord of all and he is almighty and he can control everything, then just thinking about that was joy to overcome her circumstances of life. What his family would think. That was probably a tougher thing than her family or even Joseph. What is my mother-in-law going to think? Who's going to convince her? But she had faith to believe. And her faith to believe in who Jesus was produced joy, no matter what the circumstances of life. Wow. Faith to believe. Listen to me today. Faith to believe who Jesus truly is will bring joy in no matter what your circumstances are. That was not the only example we have, the example of Mary. Actually, the first to rejoice when knowing who Jesus truly was is found in verse 44. When Elizabeth says, for as lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutations sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb, look right here, for joy. John the Baptist was in the side of the womb of Elizabeth, amen? And he was being primed to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, in him being primed, can I tell you that God knows the spirit that's in the womb of every mother. God gives the spirit of life, amen? God might use you and the husband to develop that physical features of that baby, but it's God Almighty who determines what spirit is in that child. And that spirit that God put in the child of this of Elizabeth in her womb was the spirit of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And even inside the womb, when he heard the salutations of Mary, what happened? His faith to believe even in the womb, and that's something that even scholars today have a hard time understanding, but God made it happen as he was primed in the very womb of his mother Elizabeth. He leaped for joy, the Bible says. Joy fills the heart of those who have faith to truly know who Jesus is. John chapter 1 tells us about John the Baptist. In John chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, it says this: there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now listen to me, John was not of the seed of God. John was of the seed of Zacharias. John was just a mere mortal. He was a human being like you and I. He would have a sin nature. He would have a free will. But there was something going on inside of John, even in the womb. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You see, when John's spirit understood that, and when it was revealed to him and he heard the very voice of Mary, he leaped in that womb. Joy. Joy that comes to all who can just simply have faith to believe. The next would be the angels. Look over with me, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. In Luke in chapter 2, we find here that the Bible goes. Now, there's many. We're going to just look at a few here this morning. But the very next ones that we find rejoicing over having faith to know who Jesus truly is, the Bible reveals to us the angels. In Luke in chapter 2, Luke in chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." The angels are coming. The angels from heaven are coming, and they're speaking to the shepherds, and they said, "We're going to come with you, and we're giving you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward man." You see, the next that would rejoice would be the very angels of God. The angels had been waiting since the foundations of the world for Jesus to come. They understood what would take place in heaven. Heaven, the angels understood that God's will was that He would send His Son. And they seen Jesus in His glory in heaven. But this would be the very first time that they would see Jesus coming as a man. And once He came as a man, verifying the faith that they believed that Jesus Christ, from the foundation of the world, it was established that He would come. The very God Himself would be manifest in the flesh to take away the sins of humanity. Then at this particular time, all of the heavenly angels rejoiced to see this day. Joy filled their presence. Joy associated with having faith to believe who Jesus truly is. And then, of course, the shepherds. The angels came and told the shepherds. You don't find the shepherds rejoicing quite yet. I think the shepherds would have been a little fearful. The shepherds might have been doing the very same that Mary had done and wondering in their minds, what is going on? A little troubled. Not fully understanding what has taken place. But when the angels left, they had told them where they could find the child. You don't find them rejoicing quite yet. Not until they go find the child. Luke in chapter 2 and verse 20. Once the shepherds found the child, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. The genuine faith that takes away all doubt. Once they had found Him and saw for themselves the Messiah. All they had heard from the angels, they understood who, and the angels were rejoicing, but they did not rejoice as they wanted to rejoice until they went and they found exactly what the angels had told them, and with their own eyes they looked upon the very Son of God. They looked upon the Messiah as He came as born in a manger there, as He came as a child. And they, after they saw it for themselves, the Bible says, then they started rejoicing. Because now it's no doubt. They was able to get rid of doubt concerning their circumstances of life. They was able to get rid of their doubt concerning their fears. They was able to get rid of their doubt concerning all of their concern for what was taking place. And in getting rid of their doubt, now they have genuine faith and they know that the Savior is here. Joy. Joy filled their hearts. You see, the only thing that's keeping you from rejoicing today is doubt. And the old devil speaking in your ear, if you will. Everything negative. That there is no God. What's taking place in your life, there's no hope. There's no help. You're foolish to think that God cares about you. Foolish to think that there is a creator God. Foolish to think all those different thoughts that Satan is trying to make suggestions to get your spirit to believe that is keeping you from the joy that God wants you to have. But if you can just by faith, genuine faith puts doubt to the side and believe who Jesus is, it'll bring joy. Acts chapter 8. We're going to close with this. Acts chapter 8. I want you to see this. One more. There's many more. But I think this one brings it home. In Acts chapter 8, God takes Philip, who was preaching revival, and he said, Philip, I've got a job for you. There's someone I want you to go, I want you to help, who's diligently seeking after me. He wants to know me. And I want him to know me. And so God sent Philip to preach to an Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts in chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem. Listen to me. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship. That's very important. He had heard that there was truth in Jerusalem. He had heard that there was truth concerning the past, the present, and the future. He had heard that there was a man called Jesus Christ who was prophesied from the Old Testament that would come, who actually came and he suffered and he bled and died on Calvary's cross. And they had heard that not only did he die on Calvary's cross, but he resurrected from the grave. And as he resurrected from the grave, he left with this promise. I will come again. And he instructed them and told them exactly what everyone needed to do in order to have a peace of knowing that they could have everlasting eternal life. This Ethiopian eunuch came to Jerusalem. He had all the finances because of his job. He could go anywhere he wanted, but he was seeking something that the money could not buy. He was seeking spiritual help to know who God, the true God of this earth, is. And he went to Jerusalem because of what he had heard, no doubt. He went there to worship. But the Bible says, and then he was returning and sitting in his chariot, trying to read Isaiah, the prophet. Because all he got from the church he went to was Old Testament. And they said, read the book of the law and the prophets, and you'll find what you need. So he was looking into the Old Testament. There wasn't the New Testament scriptures as of yet, but they had not witnessed to him concerning Jesus Christ. But he was diligently seeking. Can I tell you that God is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him? And God said, Philip, I want this. He is diligently seeking me. I want you to go because I want him to have a clear presentation of the gospel, and I want him to have an opportunity to confess his sins and call upon me to be a savior. That's what's taking place. So he's returning and from the worship, and he had worshiped in the synagogue, and they had told him that he had to become a Jew and he had to follow the laws of the land, the laws that was established for the Jewish people and all the different things. And he's trying to figure this out. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I went to the worship service, but they told me this is what I need to do. And I've been trying to read it, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Do you understand it? Would you come up and help me to know what I'm looking for? Amen. That's exactly what's taking place here. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. He's reading about the Messiah. He's reading about the Christ. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. You see, that's where you need to begin. Sometimes you have to go all the way back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, to help people understand God created all things. There is a God, and he is very much concerned about every human being because God so loved the world. Amen. When I was in Russia several years ago, I was there for 2 weeks passing out New Testaments in the Russian language. I mean, it was when the doors first opened up and we was over there, we took 1 million Bibles to Russia. And I was part of the group, one of the groups that went over. They went over for a full year. And I was there 2 weeks, and we went into Ulovanovsk, which is the hometown of Lenin. And we passed out 40,000 Bibles in Lenin's hometown, a communist, the father of communism. And I stood before a statue of Lenin, and I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ on the street corner. And there was Russians all around, and they was being interpreted. And we seen some 20 get saved the first time I preached. It was an amazing experience. But you would have to take them all the way back to Genesis. They had no understanding of who Jesus was. And you'd have to take them all the way back and say, this was the beginning. There is a creator God. Because most of them were atheists. They were not raised in a Christian environment. They was not raised as we are in America. Whether you're an atheist in America, you're experiencing Christianity all around you. And we would have to take them all the way back. But by the time we got them through the Old Testament, we presented to them Jesus Christ and who he was. You could see when the Spirit of God finally helped them to understand, and their eyes would get real big. And even through an interpreter, I could tell when the Spirit of God convicted their heart and they would understand and then be able to lead them in that prayer of salvation. What a blessing. I can understand what's going on here with this Ethiopian eunuch. He said, how can I? I don't understand this. And Philip took him from the scriptures, where the prophecies of the Old Testament, and he led him all the way to the birth of Jesus Christ. He led him to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he led him to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible goes on to say, if you look there with me in Acts in chapter 8, they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And the Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said this, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith to believe who Jesus is will bring joy. Commanded the chariot to stand still. They went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. But Philip, he went on his way, what? Rejoicing. He went away with a joy because he believed who Jesus Christ was, and belief in who Jesus Christ was, no matter what your circumstances of life, will bring to you joy. Everyone here has that opportunity. today. If you're not experiencing joy, one of two things. You're lost, or you've been blinded to who Jesus is. You can take care of that this morning. If you're lost, can I tell you that Jesus is your Savior? He paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross. He wants you. He's standing, knocking at your door, the door of your heart, with his arms open wide, asking you to come. You have to make a decision whether you'll receive him or not. If you will, you'll have genuine faith to know who he is. You can leave here rejoicing. Christian, if you've been blinded, you've been listening to the voice of the devil, which could be the voice of the world. You're blinded to who Jesus is. You need to come and take the blinders off. You need to come and confess to him your belief in him. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Rededicate your life to living as one who knows who Jesus is. And you can walk out of here with joy, with joy. Think about God's amazing grace. Because that's what brought to us the Savior. God's amazing grace. I love that song. It says, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now listen to me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If you've ever been lost, when you finally found your way, was it relief? Was there joy? If you were ever blinded and were given sight, can you imagine the joy? It's exactly what happens when you acknowledge Jesus Christ and you know him to be who he is. Once was lost, but you can be found. You once were blind, but now you can see. And with that knowledge comes the joy of the Lord. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Joy. Joy. God does not want us to live without the joy. He's given us a means by which we can have joy at any moment in time. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what your situation, if you truly believe and know who Jesus is, all you have to do is in your own heart and mind acknowledge him, think about him, and you'll find joy. And that might be what you need to make it through your circumstances of life. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you now, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of this word. And thank you, God, for the joy that Mary experienced. What a blessing. And now I pray, God, for everyone in this auditorium before we leave here, that we would do what we need to do in order to leave here with that very same joy of the Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name.